you'll be moichel. The Rambam says in Perek Zayin Halacha Hey Hilchos Eruvin, Hakoyne Shvisa Berichot Makoy. If a person tries to acquire a Makom Shvisa, place of rest, from a distance, but doesn't zero in on the specific Abba Amos of the Makom Shvisa. He has not acquired his place of rest. I'm not sure exactly in English how we're translating this, but anyway, in any case, Mokam Shvisa will indicate a place of rest, a halachic place of rest. Now, Ketza, what's an example of this? Says the Rambam, Haya Baba Derech, a person is walking on a path, V'amar Shvisasi B'mokam Plani. He says, I will rest in place X. Oy besade plainis in field X, oy bebika plainis in valley X, oy berichok elef ama or payim in koimi, or at a certain place, either at a distance of 1,000 and 2,000 ama from the place where I am presently now, in koimi zeh, hareze loy kona shvisa berichok. We say that a person has not acquired a place of rest merely by indicating that he is going to acquire it from a distance. And therefore we say that this person will only have 2,000 amas in every direction from the place where he's standing right at the time that it becomes dark and Shabbos enters. So the Rambam is saying that a person is walking along a path and wishes to acquire a mokam shvisa, a place of rest, at a place that is at a distance from where he is presently stationed, presently walking, then in fact he has not acquired it because he has not specified the specific four amos where he wants to specify his place of rest. But consequently then, the person will have 2,000 amos in either direction from the place where he is presently standing right before Shabbat begins. That is the position of the Rambam. The major question that arises, one should note that the Raivit argues on the Rambam, but the major question that arises in the Rambam, and is not clear what the source for the Rambam's halacha in the way it is stated. The sugya, which forms the basis of this halacha, appears at Eruvin, Daf Mem Tesam with Beis. There the Mishnah states as follows: Mi Shababa Derech, the person is walking along a path, the chash chalai, and it becomes dark. V'haliyah makir ilan, and he recognizes, or he sees a tree, or gedder, or a fence. V'omar shvisasi taktav, and say, I will indicate, I will specify a place of rest there. Loi omar klum. Right? Then he has not said anything. The Gemara raises the question. The same dafin omar, in Testament days. And the Gemara asked the question, "My loy omakrum." What does it mean to say he has not said anything? So the Gemara presents a dispute between two early Amorayim, Rav and Shmuel. Omar Rav, loy omakrum kol ika. Says Rav, he has not said anything at all. Kol ika, at all, is a literal translation. That feeling of takta shel ilan loy motzi azir. He cannot even walk to the tree which is indicated. He can't even walk there. Ushmuel Omar, Shmuel says, Loi Omar Klum Leveitzai. Basically, he has not said any, in other words, he said nothing, in other words, he has not specified anything, and therefore he did not acquire a place of rest with respect to his house, which is where he wants to go. In other words, the person, the tree is between the person and his house. He's walking towards his house, and he has not acquired a place of rest at his house, which is the distance after the tree. Avalatach Zav Shal Ilem Matzi Azir. Right? But he can go to the tree. He can make it to the tree. And then when he goes to the tree, Nasa Takta Shal Ilam Hamagama. When he goes to the tree, then what happens is the tree becomes a place of rest. But since there's a doubt, a suffix, in which direction we're going to specify the 2,000 amas, so it turns out that it's what's called a Hamagama, meaning that in fact he is limited in the direction he can go from the tree because there are 2,000 amas that are tugging in both directions. Now, the Gemara goes on in Daf Nun Amud Beis, and the Gemara says in Nun Amud Beis, Tanya Kavasa de Rav. We have a Braisa who supports Rav. The Braisa is an elaboration of the Mishnah. Misha Baba Dera Fakash Chalai. And then the Gemara says, right, if he says Shvisati, Mabokan Plaini. So the Braisa says, Bama Zavar Mabokan, what are we speaking about? Kishasim Abba Amish Yakava. What he does is he specifies a specific for Amos. Of a low sea of Abba Amos Shekava, but if he doesn't specify specific Abba Amos, which is the first case of the Mishnah, the Yozu's been Kaimai. He cannot move. He literally cannot move from where he is. So the Gemara has a question, or has a kasha. Lema Tahavi Tiyufta de Shmuel. Let this be a refutation of Shmuel. Onolach Shmuel, Shmuel will say to you, what are we speaking about? Basically, Shmuel says what we're speaking about in the Braisa is that there are a little bit more than 2,000 amos from where the person is supposed to be standing to the tree, and therefore when he gets to the tree, then because there's a tug of war between the place where the person is standing and his house, then he cannot move Abba amos away from the tree. That's the what the Gemara says in the number of days. Now, based upon the pashtus, the simple meaning, the apparent meaning of the Gemara in Memtes and Mekes, and based upon the Braisa and the refutation to Shmuel and the consequent the consequent resolution of Shmuel and the Braisa, it comes out that the dispute between Rav and Shmuel appears to be as follows. According to Rav, a person is on a path going home and he sees a tree and he wishes to specify the tree as his Mokum Shvisa. Then, in fact, he cannot move anywhere. He has to stay where he is. He has to stay where he is right before it becomes dark on Shabbos, and he can't move more than Abba Amos. That's why Yosef ben Kaimai. And Shmuel says, well, Shmuel says he can actually go to the tree. When he gets to the tree, then since there's a suffix, right, which direction we are to make the Mokum Shvisa, then he is limited to where he can go from the tree. If there's a little bit more than 2,000 Amos to the tree, then the fact he can't move more than Abba Amos in the tree. Okay, now this appears to be the simple dispute between Rav and Shmuel. The Riff, Paskins, like Shmuel, based upon a Braisa who supports him. The problem is, who is the Rambam going like? Because the Rambam says specifically that we give the person 2,000 amos to the place where he's standing. So that appears to be neither like Rav nor like Shmuel. According to Rav, the person is halachically frozen. According to Shmuel, he can move. I mean, he has a radius from the tree. But according to the Rambam, but no one says that he has 2,000 amos from the place that he's standing. Consequently, it is not clear how the Rambam is either poskening, ruling, either like Rav or Shmuel. And in addition to that, it's not clear how the Rambam is actually learning the Sukkah. That is the question. Now, the interpretation of the Rambam is a dispute between the Magid Mishnah and the Goyim, and the Goyim, the Goyim Shulchan Aruch. Excuse me, but I'm on blink. The Magid Mishnah learns the Rambam as follows. The Magid Mishnah says that the Rambam is past ruling like Shmuel. One of the reasons for this is that the Rit clearly rules like Shmuel, and since the Rambam will usually follow the Rit, then in fact actually the Rambam, the Chayim, would be ruling like Shmuel. Derech Agav, it is usually understood that the Rif was the Rebbe of the Rambam. That's not true. The Rambam never saw the Rif. The Rebbe of the Rambam was the Rimigash. The Rebbe of the Rimigash was the Rif. My Rebbe, Rabbi Yankim Yafin, Zecha Tag Levrocha, used to always say, from here we can bring a Raya, a proof, that one's Rebbe doesn't have to be living. He could be dead. You could have a Rebbe even though he's not alive. The Rambam always refers to the Rif many times as Moyev Rabbi, even though he never saw the Rif. Therefore, when my Rabbi Rabbi Yankim Bradford writes in his Svarim Moyev Rabbi Hanitziv, right, he's perfectly it's perfectly legitimate to call his Rabbi even a Tziv. Okay, in any case, so the Magid Mishnah wants a claim that the Rambam is in fact really like Shmuel. Well, how do we fit the Rambam into Shmuel? So the Magid Mishnah says that for sure the person is Kone Shvisa where he's standing. However, so what does Shmuel mean when he says he can go to the tree? Mishnah, the person really cannot go to the tree, can go to the tree, but once he reaches the tree, he can't move. And then that would say, Lo Yozu Bim Koyway. Why can't he move? Because since he was never Koyish Shvis at the tree, he can't move from the tree. Which is, in a certain sense, a very interesting shita, that even if the tree is within 2,000 amas, once the person reaches the tree, Lo Yozu Bim Koyway, he can't leave the tree. But nonetheless, the Magen Mishnah understands that, in other words, Rambam understood in Shmuel that for sure he's Koyish Shvis where he's standing. The question is he Koyish Shvis, is he allowed to walk to the tree? So, he can walk to the tree because it's within the 2,000 amas where he's standing, but once he reaches the tree, that's it. He can't move from the tree. That's the shita of the Magen Mishnah. Now, the Goyin argues on the Magen Mishnah, and there's two kashas of the Magen Mishnah. The two kashas of the Magen Mishnah are as follows. In the Testament days, Shmuel says, not the tact of Shem Ilim Hamagamo. Now when you say not the tact of Shem Ilim Hamagamo, it's mashma that what? You are Koinish Shvi set the tree. So how can the Magen Mishnah say he's not Koinish Shvi set the tree? Secondly, right, the Goyin says, if according to the Magen Mishnah, when the person reaches the tree, we could say, according to Shmuel, with respect to the tree, where yours has been Koinish, then it would come out, as a consequence of this, it would be, that is, why should the Gemara have viewed initially the Braisa as a refutation of Shmuel? In fact, the Braisa is very like Shmuel. No, Yosefim Koimei can refer to Shmuel. Because according to the Magen Mishnah, Shmuel in fact is actually not Koimei, even though he can reach the tree, he's not going to Shvis at the tree. So therefore, the Goyin rejects the interpretation of the Magen Mishnah, and the Goyin says that in fact, actually, the Rambam is in fact learning like Rav. And that seems to be the maskana of the Goyin. The problem which I would like to raise is that assuming, like the Goyin, that the Rambam is passing like Rav, well, how do we understand, how is the Rambam learning Rav? Because the Gemara seems to indicate that Lo Amaklum means Lo Yozu Bim Koyway. From the Gemara, it appears to be clear that the Rambam, from the Gemara, it appears to be clear that according to Rambam, I can't move. Once it becomes dark, I'm stuck with the Rabba Amas. The Rambam, however, in contradistinction to this, right, learns quite clearly that I have 2,000 Amas, right, from the place where I'm sitting at, Ben HaShemashah is from HaShecha. So, how to understand how the Rambam learns according to the Goyin in Rav? So, what I would like to do is I would like to do two things, What I would like to do is I would like to motivate the reason the Rambam, I would like to tell you how I thought the Rambam learned in Rav, and motivate the reason why the Rambam, in fact, learned like Rav. Now, and the way, of course, I'm going to do this is going to allow me to come to the next topic, which will also be a matter of convenience, too. Okay, now, truth and convenience do not necessarily have to be a contradiction to each other. Now, there's a very interesting Mishnah in Menhei Amud Aleph. The Mishnah in Aleph says like this. The very last Mishnah in Aleph is in the Vilna Talmud. Mishi Yoshen B'derach L'Yoda HaShecha. The person falls asleep, right? And it gets dark. And Shabbos comes in. So, Rabbi Yochanan Nuri says he has 2,000 Amos, right, from the place where he's sleeping. And the Chachamim say he has only Arba Amos. So we have a dispute between Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri and Chachamim. A person is sleeping when Shabbos comes in, and he's not sleeping in his house or in the town. He's sleeping on a path. And Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri says he has 2,000 Amos where he's sleeping. Chachamim says 2,000 Amos. Chachamim say is only Arba Amos. Now the Gemara in the Vav and Aleph says that we rule like Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri. Why is that true? Because the general rule Eilvin, since Eilvin is the Rabbanan, is rabbinical, I mean, Eilv Tukum is the Rabbanan, so the Gemara says, Halacha Kedivri HaMekel Be'Eilv, Halacha is always like the lean feet of Eilv, even Yochanan Kedivri Rabbin. So then, because of that, the Gemara rules, like Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri, the person falls asleep, he gets 2,000 Amos each side. The Rambam, in Perek Chazayin, Halacha Dalet, accordingly, with the conclusion of the Gemara, rules of Yochanan Ben Nuri. I have a simple question. If a person is sleeping, he's unaware of anything, and he gets 2,000 amos from wherever he's sleeping. And how could it be that the person's awake doesn't get 2,000 amos where he's standing? It doesn't make any sense. So I understand that I'm understood fundamentally, a priori, empirically, kavol chayim and kavol chayimah, that if he possibly is chenoli, that a person has 2,000 amos the place he sleeps, certainly if he's conscious and awake, certainly he should at least get 2,000 amos where he's standing. Oh, if that's true, right, so how do I understand Rav? So I want to claim that Rambam learned a different shot than Rav. When the Gemara says, Matzi Azal Le'ilan, the Gemara doesn't mean about going to the Ilan. The Gemara means going to Ilan and being Koinem Bakim Shvisa in the Ilan. So the question is like this. The person would prefer to be the person would like to be Koinem Bakim Shvisa in the tree. I mean, it would be bad to be going to the Bakum Shvisa in his house, because that's where he wants to go. He wants to go home. He doesn't have Shabbos in his treehouse. Well, he can't have Shabbos in his treehouse, but he doesn't have Shabbos in his house. So Rav says, not only are you not going to Bakum Shvisa in your house, you're even not going to Bakum Shvisa in the tree, even though you indicated the tree. However, you're going to Bakum Shvisa where you are. And Shmuel says, no. Shmuel says, no. Shmuel says, you can be going to Bakum Shvisa in the tree. Said that this is a suffix of the Chamagama. That's the way the Rambam learned in Rav. So because of that, it comes out very nicely. That Rav Paskin, you're not Kodem Bakum Shvisa in the tree. But certainly, from a Kavachayma, from Yashem, you're Kodem Bakum Shvisa where you are. And that's the Shvisa of Rambam. Baruch Hashem, Omen V'Omen. From Yashem the Rambam. Now, I would like to go on to the next subject matter, which is as follows. One following thing. I mentioned before that the Gemara says clearly on Daf Membov and Aleph, and since Eruv is the Rabbanan, we will always lean by leaning opinions of Eruv. We go to Kula. Now, it's interesting that the Gemara later on Daf Membov and Aleph raised the question: from where do we derive the 2,000 amas and Eruv to Chumash? And the Gemara brings the pasuk Al Yesi Ish Bim Koymei. Now the Gemara makes a gzera shava Al Paim Amma to the case of Al Paim Amma by the Ori Halevim. And as a result of this, the Gemara based on the gzera shava learns that in fact the Al Paim Amma are by the gzera shava are the distance a person can travel from his Bakim Shvisa. The question that has to be raised is, if in fact Eruvin is in fact the Rabbanon, if Eruv is the Rabbanon, then in fact, why should the Gemara be making a Gezer HaShava? We all know that a Gezer HaShava is a Limut Yeraisis, based on one of the Yud Gimel Midos. Now, the Gemara, right, the Gemara has a Yish, has a resolution. We could say that the Limut in the Gemara of the Gezer HaShava is going according to the opinion in at the end of the first part of Erev in Yuzayim Beis that Erev Tchum Adiraisa. That's the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. So we can say that the Gemara in the Aleph and the Aleph that makes the limud of 2,000 amas is going according to the opinion of Rabbi Akiva that in fact Erev Tchum is Adiraisa. But the Gemara in Daf Mem Vav Omer Aleph, right, goes according to the opinion not like Rabbi Akiva, that El Tchum is Rabbanan, and therefore the limud of 2,000 amas, right, is in fact, we could say maybe it's the best, we know it either from the Rasmachta, by some other doubt, but certainly not through one of the Yud Gimel mitzvahs of Gzeira Shava. The problem is the Rambam, because the Rambam paskins very clearly, both in the Sefer Mitzvahs, Leisa say Shin Chof Aleph, and the Rambam, Mordechai, where are you going? Okay. And the Rambam also paskins in the 27th parak in Hilchos Shabbos, parak from Zayin, Shivat V'yesrim, says the Rambam, right, Halacha Aleph, Hayotzi Chutzit Chum HaMedina V'Shabbos, Loike, if a person leaves a Chum in Shabbos, he gets Malkus, Shnemar, Hayotzi Ishim Chum HaMedina V'Shvi, right? And it says, and Rambam says, "Ubi divrei seifrim shlo yetsi adam chutz la'ir ella ad alpayim ama, al chutz alpayim ama osa shalpayim ama hu mikra she'ir." Now, so the Rambam is a problem because on one hand, right, the Rambam is learning that in fact erev Elven is the Araisa. That El Tchum is the Araisa. On the other hand, the Rambam is the Gzera Shav. According to my Cheshva, the Gzera Shav and the Ashi people are the Gzera Shav. The Rambam is the Gzera Shav. It's only the Rabbana. And hence the Rambam can pass and say, because it's like a Bichim Nuri, that's been both in Aleph. The Allah is the Gremekel, the Elven. The resolution to this problem can only be understood if we look at what the Rambam says in the second Sheirish to the Sefer HaMitzvot. There, in the second Sheirish, the Sefer HaMitzvot, the Rambam clearly says that many times in the Shas, someone you learn the sound place of the Shas, with the Gemara being the Gzera Shava, the din that is derived from the Yud Gimel Midas in the Shas is the Rabbanan, and that's the Rabbanan. That's what the Rambam says in the in Sheirish Beis. So very, very good. The Rambam is going with Shidotza, even though Erev Tchumim is the Araisa, for sure. Nonetheless, since Chazal are deriving the 2,000 Amas from a Gzera Shava of Alpayim Amma, right? So that din is, according to the second Sheirish, is the Rabbanan. And therefore the Rambam says we differ Saifa. Now, the problem is, though, is that there's a machlokes, a dispute among the first Rambam. What does the Rambam mean in Sheirish Beis? In general, what does he mean by different cipher? The opinion of many Mefarshei Rambam, beginning with the Rashbats in the Zohar Rekiah, that even though the Rambam states Rabbanan, it really means the Araisa. The Beisefer means the Araisa, and this is built to be written about the Mishnah and made of Mefarshei Rambam. However, there are Mefarshei, Rav Perlau in his Sefer Mitzvot Sachigoi mentions that Mefarshei Rambam, like the Rambam in his Hasagas to the Rambam and Sefer Mitzvot, Ashut HaRashba, the Rivash, all took the Rambam literally, that in fact, the many times the Gzera Shava is to be understood, even on a derisive din, to be the Rabbanan. It would appear that the Shita of these latter Rishonim, which actually historically earlier Rishonim, it would appear that their Shita, that the Rambam understood that many times the Gzera Shava on a din derisive can be the Rabbanan, it would appear that this is actually borne out by our Gemara here in Elazin, that the Gemara Stam brings a Gzera Shava, right, learning our time on, but the Rambam understands clearly the din is the Araisa. But nonetheless, the Rambam learns the difference of the Rabbanan. In fact, one can even say, and I'm venturing to say, that the Shita Sarambam can be proven from this Gemara. In other words, the Rambam's Bekor, his source, is this Gemara. Because since the Rambam understood that La Halacha, we got to have Yekiva, the Elvin, and Tchum is the Araisa, and the Gemara clearly says, in Menzov and Alva, that Elvin is the Rabbanan, meaning, has to mean that 2,000 Amas is the Rabbanan. So the Gzera Shava in that Alvin Aleph has to be an Asmachta, and the Din Derav cannot be a Diraisa. We have to say that in the Rambam, and this Gemara, this Sugya would serve as a source, a Makor, for the Rambam Shita in Sheirish Beis, according to the fundamental line that, in fact, the Rambam understood that the that many times the Gzera Shava born in Shas, even after Rasha Din, produces a Din Derabana. Kach Zira Lefi Aniyah Zaitin. Now, I would like to perhaps go, since we're speaking about Limudim from Sukkim, I would perhaps like to go a little bit to Divrei Agadata and Daf Nun Dalet Omer Aleph. There the Gemara says as follows. The Gemara makes a statement and says, Il Mole and Nun Dalet Omer Aleph, the Gemara says, in the name of Rabbi Elazar, Il Mole May Dechsev Chorot Alanu Chayis. What is the meaning of the pasuk that the writing was Chorot, was engraved on the Luchayis, on the tablets that Moshe Rabbeinu brought down from Har Sinai? So Rabbi Elazar says, Il Molei Lo Nishtabru Luchayis HaRishonis, had the first Luchayis not been broken, Loi nishtachra Torah miYisrael. Torah would not be forgotten from the Jewish people. I would like to perhaps give some insight. What does Chazal mean when they say that had the Luchos not been broken, the Torah would not be forgotten from the Jewish people? In particular, how can we say that Torah is forgotten from the Jewish people? The Rambam clearly says in the Hakdamah of the Parasha Mishnayos, the Chas V'Shalom, to say that anything should be forgotten. How can we say that things are forgotten? from Klal Yisrael. This would basically endanger our understanding of a clear Messiah. However, the lashon nishtaka shichcha appeared actually in Shas Tzil. For example, the Gemara in Daf Chaf about Aleph in Sukkah speaks about different tekufas where Tehil was nishtaka, was forgotten, and came different people like Abchia and Hillel, and they were mocks of it. They returned it to the state, to its previous state. The Gemara in Tazayim and Aleph and Tabor also speaks about thousands of halachas that were forgotten during the Avelos of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Gemara goes on and then speaks about the fact that Otto Meknaz was Maksav and Bederach HaPilpo. I would like to suggest that what's the Yisoid of Shechacha? I would like to say Shechacha is the following thing. We all know it's a drasha, famous drasha of the Beit HaLevi, that when the Luchos HaRishonos were given, then there was no distinction between the Teresh HaBechsa'av and the Teresh HaBe'alpeh. The Teresh HaBe'alpeh were all in one. Mind and text were one. However, what happened was that with the Shvirat HaLuchos, with the Egel Shvirat HaLuchos, then it was established a bifurcation, a dichotomy, between the Teresh of the Teresh HaBechsa'av. Consequently, the Gemal and Gittin, Samach HaMad Beis, the Vom Shemaksav, Yatavashal Mbyalpeh, Yatavashal Akosva. We have to say that really the purpose, the tachlis of the history of Torah is to once again unite this dichotomy between the oral law and the written law. And this is Mashma in Rishonim, the Vitzor in Zayin in Rosh Hashanah, the Fundapay Zayin in Aleph, in Shabbos. So we have to say the following thing: is that what do we mean to say that there was shichacha in periods of Klal Yisrael? Shichacha might mean that what happens is that in certain periods of Klal Yisrael, then the gedolah, the chacham, the generation, they sense a weakening of the Messiah, of the oral tradition, and a weakening could possibly be just because the hamayinam, the people somehow suspect the authenticity of the oral law. Because of that, Chachamim, or the Gedolah generation, give Rishus, the Talmid Chachamim, to now base what was heretofore oral tradition in the Teresh of Echsav. In other words, Shichacha is basically an intended forgetting of the Messiah in order to base the Teresh Bialpeh in the Psukim. And one could say, Pashut, that's what the Gemara is. The Mishnah gives us an oral tradition, the Gemara says, Minala. What the Gemara is trying to do is to base the oral law within the written law. And that's called the period of Shechacha. So, based upon that, and Ein Kan Mokum Lahalich, we could say that that's the Pshat of the Gemara. That says that if the Luchos weren't broken, there would be Shechacha, because the Teresh HaTeresh HaBe'alpeh would all be one. No one would ever have questioned the Messiah. But since the Luchos were broken, then what is a oral tradition sometimes can appear to be weak. Sometimes people can perhaps suspect it. And therefore, there has to be shichacha, and therefore there's a need in certain tekufas in the history of Klal Yisrael to rebase the Torah, right, based upon the Torah Shvachsav, and that's the meaning of the Gemara. Okay, now, I'm going to maybe end up with more things too, because my voice is on the blink. But since I was saying Divrei Agadita, I want to conclude with some Divrei Agadita. The Gemara in Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis gives a little bit of advice. It says, I think the Baloi says, Nisyais b'machtir, right? And v'hagdiv m'mifivoshes. So Rashi explains, Nisyais b'machtir, take the shots from the Nafi, we'll give you the shots, right, of smicha, and you can be a mumcha l'rabim. And then the Gemara says, Vaham give, right, l'mifivayshas. Says Rashi, Vahadrim halach l'ledorim, go to the south. Says Rashi, Fnei zikne dorim, the elders of the south. Shein chachamim ma'oit. This is very, very smart. Rashi says, that's why he mentioned l'mifivayshas, and he was an Adam chacham ma'oit. He was a very, very smart person. Now, the Maris Chiyas es Akasha from the Yerushalmi. Because the Yerushalmi, in Perek Tamin Nishchat says clearly, one should not teach Agadita in front of several groups of people because they might scorn it or laugh at it. and one of them are Chachmei Dovim. Chachmei Dovim, because they're either not they're not Tei Teva, they'll scorn Agarata, and therefore a person shouldn't teach them Agarata. So the Malas Chiyas asks a very, very serious kasha. I mean, if that's true, so why is the Gemara advising us to go to Chachmei Dovim, right, and learn the Chachma? These are people who are not Tei Teva, they squander the Agarata. So I would like to say a very interesting thing. I would like to be Yashiv, the stira, the kasha of the Malas Chiyas, is saying, is that why are these Zikmei Dorim, why do they scorn Agarata? Because when they hear Divrei Agarata, they seem to think the Chacham is saying things which are a contradiction to their Chachma. Right? Some people think that Chazal say things that Agarata is, and they say, well, science tells us that that can't be true. You know, my Chachma tells me that can't be true. And therefore they come to laugh at it. And in the Chacham, right, you can't tell these people Divrei Agarata, because Mayag Larash, what you're doing is basically, in other words, you're feeding them things. Now, but what is telling us in the Bible? Well, don't say, well, these are all a bunch of idiots, like, you know, don't bother with them, you know, they're a bunch of shakonim. No. Because all of a sudden, go learn the Chachma. You should go to Dachan, go to them, learn their Chachma, and then when you learn their Chachma, then maybe you can, in fact, better understand, right, how they're looking at the Agarata, and therefore, like the Bible says many times, da mal hashim lapikaitis, in other words, you can properly resolve the Agarata this time in a way which they can respect, because since you've gone to them and learned their Chachma, then they feel that you're speaking to them in a direct wavelength. So I think this is a very, very important Mitzvah that I'd like to leave with you as I take leave of you in Mitzvah Hashem. Have a good evening in Yerushalayim, and in good morning, America, New York. Be well.